Thank you, Marina. It looks like the judges are still finishing up. Just so you guys are aware, the senior contestant, like I mentioned before, will be representing our diocese at the National Convention this year in Houston, and the CPCC will be awarding them $500 for travel expenses. So that will go to the judge's choice. And we are about to hear from our final contestant, senior contestant number 3, as soon as we get the judges okay that they're ready. If we can have the doors. Thank you. Timekeeper, are we ready? And judges, just give me a thumbs up. Judges are ready? I now present to you senior contestant number 3.
Your Eminence Archbishop Joseph, Reverend Fathers, brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ is in our midst. A famous American preacher, Jonathan Edwards, describes God in the following way. The God that holds you over the pit of hell, much as one holds a spider or some loathsome insect over the fire, abhors you. In the Western world, there is an image of the Last Judgment being an angry God who is eager to punish all those who have broken his commandments. This picture of an angry God is like a religious scared straight program, convincing people that if they can appease this God, they can be okay. This view is not what I learned growing up. However, I had to figure out how the Last Judgment was ultimately going to affect my life. As I entered my teen years, I had to decide if I would slide by on autopilot and just get by or choose to struggle for my salvation. The groundwork was laid in my early years. My parents taught me to love God and his church and to serve others with my whole heart. I still remember our evening prayers as a family. My favorite time was the Paschal season. All the lights in the house were turned off as we said our prayers by candlelight. Then at the conclusion, the whole family broke out in a joyful voice, singing, Christ is risen from the dead, trampling down death by death, and upon those in the tombs bestowing life. As we sang, my sisters and I ran around the house, turning on all the lights to symbolize Christ is the light of the world. These moments, and so many others in my youth, built a foundation, but it was still my parents' faith, my parents' love. As I grew into adolescence, I had a decision to make for myself. Was I going to take this faith and make it my own, or just go through the motions, with the appearance of being a good son, a good student, a good Christian? What is the point of it all? Imagine if an angel appeared and asked you to write your own obituary. Would you be surprised? My uncle, who's a deacon in my parish, instructed my youth group to do just that, to imagine how we would want to be remembered. He told the teens to begin with the end in mind. We were certainly surprised. Teens don't usually think about the end of life, but about hopes, plans, dreams. The word mortality is for others, not us. And yet, the reality is that any of our earthly lives could end in a moment, an instant. Thinking about this made me realize I had to make Christ my own. I had to give love myself. At the age of 13, I journeyed into the inner city on my first Youth Equipped to Serve short-term missions trip. First, as we drove through the city with the drug dealer-filled parks and the tourist-filled hotels, we prayed for Los Angeles. We prayed for the wealthy people in the crowded theaters, and for the penniless people who lived on the streets filled with litter. On Saturday, we tried to be the answer to those prayers. We prepared bagged lunches and handed them to the homeless residing on Skid Row. Look, most people are grateful. But occasionally, they are annoyed. One man said, "I've heard it all. I know I'm a sinner." He turned down the food. Our effort to being the fire of God's love scalded him. Thankfully, most people were willing to accept our service. On Sunday morning, we served delicious-looking bread to people living in the park. It was delicious-looking because we had to wait. It was difficult yet rewarding meeting the needs of others while we denied ourselves food so that we could partake in the sacrament of Eucharist. Conversing with people on the streets affected me deeply. There I met Leroy and Charles. Leroy wanted us to understand how important it is for God to be real in our own lives. Charles, amidst his earthly poverty, shared the richness of his poetry. My heart began to break as I realized that all these people in the hotels, the theaters, the streets, all these people were Jesus. I saw the image of God in Charles and Leroy, and I still pray for them both each day. That weekend, my eyes were opened and my heart overflowed with love. Last summer, my heart once again rejoiced in seeing Christ and the athletes at the Special Olympics sports camp at Antiochian Village. During the week, I got to be a counselor, cheerleader, and coach to these amazing people. It was a constant stream of high fives all week long. Every day, I saw that every one of these athletes was Jesus. We must see the image of God whenever we encounter others. We serve Christ Himself when we serve and love our neighbors with humble hearts, even when our gifts are met with hatred. Jonathan Edwards pictures the Last Judgment as sinners in the hands of an angry God. The Holy Church Fathers have a much different definition. The Last Judgment, at its foundation, is rooted in the endless, unending love of God. As Father Simeon Keyes writes, God is unconditional love, and God is a consuming fire. Love and fire are one. There is no contradiction here. God's uncreated love is uncreated fire. God offers love to all, but some try to run from that love, even when it is everywhere. That is hell. St. Isaac the Syrian explains that those who are suffering in hell are being scourged by love. If one runs from the all-consuming fire of God's love, his presence will be infinite torture and death. If one runs towards the all-consuming fire of God's love, his presence and love will be infinite, eternal, insurmountable joy. So what does this look like in the life of an Orthodox teen today? The fire of God's love must grow by loving our neighbor. We must run towards, accept, and embrace this all-consuming fire of love if we want to hear the glorious words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." How do we do this? In Matthew 25, Jesus speaks plainly about feeding the hungry, giving drink to the thirsty, clothing the naked, taking strangers in, and visiting the sick and imprisoned. His concluding statement here is one that pierces my own heart. Inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. The homeless man rejecting the food, the poet who lives on the street, the Special Olympics athlete, struggling high school student, seeking to have a meaningful life. We are all the least of these, and really just need unconditional love. As I contemplate that I must begin with the end in mind, I remember a man who was on fire with the love of God. Father Peter Gilchrist played a significant role in bringing thousands from the understanding of God as an angry stepfather to truly understanding him, the fiercely loving Father of Jesus Christ, whose compassion is boundless. Father Peter fell asleep in the Lord about a year ago. I was inspired and moved to tears when I saw a picture of his gravestone, which is in the shape of a cross. It reads 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Above is boldly written words that make all creation rejoice. Christ is risen. Such moments in the liturgy, including hearing the stories of saints and reading the gospel and Bible, are earthly tools with heavenly roots. However, the gospel will only come alive for us once we live it. That all-consuming, loving fire of God must make a home in our hearts and spur us to holy action. As young adults in the Orthodox Church, we embrace the love of God when we are continually transformed by the holy sacraments, like confession and in receiving the holy gifts. When we use our God-given talents for the heavenly kingdom and listen to those who watch over our souls. That's when we are taking the faith of our fathers and parents and making it our own. I don't know how much time I have left on this earth. I pray I have many more years. I pray everyone has many more years, that we can become inflamed with the love of God. However, I know that I may be called at any time. I pray the kindling in my own heart becomes an eternal flame of love for my Lord. Amen.